You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown. Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics, and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. To ensure compliance with requirements imposed by the IRS, we inform you that any U.S. federal tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to or to be used for the purpose of avoiding penalties under the Internal Revenue Code or promoting, marketing, or recommending to another party any transaction or matter addressed herein. This show is for educational purposes only. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online at wdiy.org each and every week. And today is January 8th, 2014. I have to get in the saddle again, Jeff. I've been off a couple of weeks. I almost forgot what we do here. So Jeff said, welcome back. And I say, welcome back, listeners, as well. The markets were mixed today. The Dow closing down at 16,462. The NASDAQ up at 4,165. And the S&P slightly down at 1837. Tonight, we are discussing New Year's resolutions in your financial life, which could cover just about anything, folks. So if you have questions tonight, it would be a great night to call. Financial situations, what's going on. The phone number this evening is 610-758-8810. Again, New Year's resolutions in your financial life. We'll try to make it as pleasant as possible. I do have a guest in the studio with me this evening. We have power people here to discuss these topics. We have Alan Shannon Breslin. He's a CPA and a CFP and representative from the PICPA. I want to thank Kathleen O'Donnell from the PICPA. She throws us these topics and gets us folks to come on and talk about topics that are important for consumers. We are live, and we are here to take your questions. Judy Ann will answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay, and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics, not specific investments. And while we do typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic. We'll do our best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. Our guest this evening, Alan Shannon Breslin, has been a certified public accountant since 1983 and a certified financial planner since 1998. He graduated from Lehigh University, and after working for national and local accounting firms for 11 years, he started his own firm, Integrity Wealth Management. Located in Allentown, he works with about 300 clients for tax and financial planning. Most recently, he's been facilitating a free personal financial program at his parish called 7 Steps to Financial Freedom that helps people get out of debt and gain peace of mind regarding their financial life. Alan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lori. It's great to be here.
Thanks for coming. So tell us why New Year's resolutions and financial planning and taking care of your financial life are personal to you, and how you have evolved in your practice.
Well, the one credential that I didn't tell you about before, but I'll tell you about now, is that in 1995, I had about $40,000 in credit card and personal debt. It was about half of my household income at the time. And over a period of 7 years, going through a lot of different things, through a divorce and starting a new business and sending a kid off to college, we were able to pay that down entirely so that we have no personal debt whatsoever. So that's what I feel excites me most about this topic, about helping people make fresh starts for the new year, because I whatever financial mistakes you've made, folks, I have made them in spades. There's nothing you can say that I won't be able to say, oh, yeah, I did that. I mean, if you took an advance on your credit card to pay your rent, I did that. So don't be afraid.
Well, you know, Alan, I think that is the, you know, the mystique of all of this. I think sometimes people aren't as open and forthcoming with that information. I have said on the show before, I had to charge some of my education. I mean, I was paying for classes as I put myself through college.
Right.
And sometimes it took me having to put it on a credit card.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people might question, like, how could that happen? How did it happen? Well, you know what? When you're in certain situations, sometimes you just end up doing what you have to do to get through. But it's about overcoming that and being empowered enough to move forward from that. So,
right.
So these are great stories, and I think it really helps for people to understand that, you know, it's not just, you know, people who are making bad decisions who are doing this. Sometimes it's situations that cause some of this.
So, and then the thing about New Year's, I think, is that we've all just come off the holidays. I think there's kind of a holiday hangover with, well, you know, I spent way more than I should have. I ate more than I should have. So coming into New Year's, it's a time to, you know, to take stock of your life, and I think... like you said, no matter what level you are in life, there's kind of this pervading, nagging feeling that we could be doing better, and that we could be managing our money better. We could be, you know, exercising more, eating better. And I think that's what causes people around New Year's to kind of look at their finances and say, what can I do? And you've probably noticed in your tax practice, a lot of times people leave that appointment saying, well, I've got to change things. You know, I didn't do any tax planning, or I really got hit, or gee, we made all this money, and where did it go? We hear that a lot. And so it's kind of another New Year's when people like have their taxes done.
And I say tax returns tell us a lot of information as well. We do have a question. We have a caller on line one. And the phone number, folks, tonight is 610-758-8810. We have Jean from Bethlehem. Can you hear us, Jean?
Hi. Yeah, I can hear you, but it's you're not as loud as you could be, but I can kind of hear you. Yeah.
Okay. How can we help you?
Well, you know, thanks for doing a show tonight, and I had a question about people doing investment for the future in a sustainable manner, and by that I mean that, you know, typically our market economy doesn't take sort of a triple bottom line stance where they're considering, you know, what effect are things going to be having on the world, what effect are things going to be having on the ecology and things like that. There's a lot of things that are pushed out and not considered. And I'm wondering, you know, as financial planners and stuff, if you're encouraging people to do things like buy land and try to plant more perennial things, get things going that might be like edible forest gardens, and that those could be considered investments for the future that could really pay them dividends in having a place that will be able to sustain both them and their children in the future.
It's interesting you should say that, Gene. My brother-in-law, Anton, is, and I hope he doesn't mind me mentioning him on the air, he's an organic farmer. And we've had some long conversations about this kind of thing. And I was helping him with his IRA at one point, and it really is something that I never really thought about, thinking about the consequences of your investments. But that's something that we went through, and he actually ended up, when we looked at the different alternatives, we looked at some socially responsible funds. There are funds out there that screen for particular investments, for green investments, for employee relations and things like that. And the more that we looked at those things, his final decision was just what you said, to use that money to invest in a farm. And also, one of the alternatives he looked at was a credit union, because he felt that way he was kind of supporting the community with his investment in a direct way.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea, too, sure. And there's things like we're trying to start a food co-op in Bethlehem, and that would be another good place for people to invest money in and buy a share in. Now we want to get started in about a year if we can. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of really good investments, and I think that you don't really hear enough about alternative things like this. So, well, I'm glad that, was it your brother-in-law you said was doing great?
Yep.
And we have a small organic farm, too, that we run out of our property in Forks Township. My middle son Daniel does that. So we're definitely doing that, and we're looking to do more along those lines. And I think it's really going to take a lot of us starting to think that way to turn a corner on a lot of the problems that we have coming up, such as global warming.
Well, Gene, I think that it also starts by people calling in to shows like this and bringing it up so that we can encourage awareness of that as well. I know with a couple of my clients, at least, I've worked with them on conservation easements where they have worked with local nonprofits where they have made donations of land to preserve it, and it starts with that type of encouraging that type of planning as well. So thank you for calling in, and I have considered actually doing a show on sustainable living and these co-op farms and things like this. So now that you've called in, that might be something I'll put on my schedule for maybe after tax season, okay?
I hope you do. Thanks for taking
All
my
right.
call.
Thank you very much. Have a good night. Folks, if you have questions tonight, you can call in at 610-758-8810. We will be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Join us for Winter Blast 2014. WDIY's annual party is happening Saturday, February 1st at Miller Symphony Hall in Allentown. Tickets are available at wdiy.org. Winter Blast tickets include complimentary food, drinks, and the live rockin' sounds of the Doughboys. Go to wdiy.org and get your tickets today.
And welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and I have in the studio with me this evening Alan Shannon Breslin, who's a CPA and CFP as well. We're discussing New Year's resolutions. So we've kind of set the table, how we can be inspired to get started. So what is the best way to get started now that we're inspired, Alan? Do you have some ideas for people so that they don't get discouraged or overwhelmed? And I think people getting overwhelmed is one of the biggest roadblocks for people to move forward and kind of empowering themselves in their financial decisions. So
yeah, absolutely.
Give us some ideas.
Well, one thing I've heard you mention on the air is your financial inventory. And that's a really good first step. And actually, I think in a lot of ways it's the most difficult step, because I've worked with folks that once we get all those numbers on the paper and they kind of see how bad things are, they either have two reactions of, well, forget it. This isn't going to work. I can't make any headway here. It's very rare that people look at those numbers and say, oh, it's better than I thought. Lots of times people don't want to face how the kind of situation that they're in. And that's the most important thing in making a change is, well, where am I now? And where do I want to be? Mm-hmm. So the first thing, and I always counsel people when we're doing that step, is to be kind of gentle with yourself. Don't beat yourself up too much. And I often share my own story, which is, I had a Lehigh bachelor's degree and a lot of experience with a national firm, and I still made really difficult choices, like you said, not always bad choices, but difficult ones that ended me up in a lot of debt. So it can be very overwhelming, but it sometimes it's helpful to have somebody that you're going through the process with. And that was it, that was my case exactly. The next step, I think, is to start tracking your spending, to go back 3 to 6 months with your credit card statements and your checking account statements, and try to put together what your actual expenses are. It's not unlike when you're going to go on a diet or something like that. You want to know, well, what's my current behavior? Because unless you're in some kind of a life-threatening situation, it's very hard for people to change all at once. I mean, we're going to try to identify some areas where you can make small incremental changes that'll have a big cumulative effect.
Can we talk about some of those small changes? And I'll start by throwing out one, okay? What I used to say when my husband and I just got everything paid off, and you have kids now and kids start costing money. Well, if we went out, there were decisions about, do we go out to a restaurant where you're going to pay maybe a bigger bill and a tip and the kids get stuff to drink? I'd say, well, kids, if you really want to go out, to try to still make it special, we'll go out, but we're going to go to Wendy's and we're all going to get water instead. So a simple little thing like that, over time when you're spending, $10 instead of, $50, that was one thing that we started with the kids when they were young. And, I just went out actually with our kids last night. We hadn't been out. Kids are home from school. Went out And guess what the kids all order? Water. Water, water, water. So we've trained them. But, I mean, you know, that's water times the, you know, price of a soda. Yeah. So that's one little thing. So let's just talk about some of the little things that people could do maybe just to get started as an example of getting, you know, starting small and be gentle with yourself.
Right, right. Well, one of the things that my wife Lisa and I do, and we still do it now that our kids are mostly out of the house, is we do a menu plan for the whole week. And that's taken a lot of pressure off us, because what we do is we look at the circular for our favorite grocery store and we pick whatever's on sale that week. So if it's this week happened to be bottom round roast, we bought one of those. And then we make a plan so that we're using, you know, we have that on Monday, then Wednesday we use the leftovers from that and that sort of thing. And even when our kids were little, and there was at one point, one of our grown children moved back home with his wife and kids, and our nephew was living with us. And it was one summer where we would have 12 people at dinner every night.
So hence your issues, Alan. But no, that's life. That's yeah, life happening
that's
to
how
you.
It happened. Yeah. So we would do the menu plan. And the funny story is that our nephew was living with us, and he was 20, going on 21. And one day I put the menu up there on a Sunday, and he said, "Well, I don't understand how this works." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, how do you know on Sunday afternoon what you're going to be hungry for on Thursday?" And I said, "Oh, that's easy. I look at the list and I see what's for dinner on Thursday. That's what I'm going to be hungry for." So I think that takes a lot of pressure off with that dinner decision. Because when I had the $40,000 in credit card debt, I sat down one day with all of my credit card statements and I did an Excel spreadsheet, being an accountant, and I added up, going backwards, what I had charged on the card. And when I analyzed it, it was very few big things. I mean, there were some car repairs in there, and there were, you know, a vacation trip maybe, or some furniture. But most of it was going out to dinner. And like you said, you start out at Wendy's, and then you think, well, you know, it isn't that much more to go to, and I'd throw a name out, but mm-hmm. TGI Fridays mm-hmm. or Red Robin. And that's fine while the kids are little, and then all of a sudden they're ordering adult entrees, and it's mm-hmm. costing you $70 to go out mm-hmm. for dinner. And when I walk people through this exercise, we do it two ways. We give them a blank sheet of paper that has some categories on it, and we say, you know, what do you think you spend on these things each month? And then we go back to it after they've done the 3 to 6 months, and most of the big things they get, their mortgage, their car payment, things like that. But the out-of-pocket stuff for dining out, sometimes that blows them away. They're spending way more on that than they thought they were.
Well, because when you think about just saying, oh, yeah, $70, and $70 by itself might not sound like that much today for people who are, you know, employed and they're working, they have a job. $70 to go out to a nice dinner, they might think that's all right. But doing that 10 times a month, mm-hmm. 10 times 70.
Yeah,
I'm an accountant. I have to use a calculator, but I'm pretty sure that's $700. I could pay like rent on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
People don't. So $70 doesn't sound like much, but 70 times going out to eat 10 times.
Yeah. Oh,
just like when people use that coffee analogy. Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is that coffee analogy where you say, oh, save the cup of coffee. Don't get your cafe latte or whatever they're called. Mm-hmm. I don't get those. But they say save that every day. Well, you know what? Some people might think they're not doing that, so they're saving money, but they mm-hmm. don't realize they're still spending in these yeah. other ways.
That's the thing. I mean, I love that column in the Morning Call, the On the Cheap column that's in Sunday's paper, and it's very entertaining, but it concerns me when I read that, because I think, are people doing some of those things, you know, collecting rainwater and stuff like that, and they're not looking at the bigger issues? Should they refinance their mortgage? When was the last time they shopped for car insurance? You know, the little lizard, or no lizard, what is he? He's a gecko, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
The little gecko is telling us all the time, we got to, you know, call and get a quote. And one area that, you know, we're probably really sensitive to is income taxes. I think mm-hmm. people don't manage their taxes well. If I'm meeting with somebody who has credit card debt, and I look at their tax return and they're getting a $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 refund, I always want to say to them, look, what happened to your refund last year? And 8 out of 10 times, they don't know. Sometimes they say, well, that's our vacation fund, or we use that to pay our school taxes or whatever. But most of the time, that money just evaporates. Mm-hmm. So I'm more prone with them to say, look, we're either going to adjust your withholding so that you're not getting such a big refund, or you have to promise me right now that next year's refund is going to go right against the credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much preferable, I think, to look at those areas, because those, and what people don't realize till April 15th sometimes is exactly how much they are spending in income taxes because they think in terms of their net paycheck.
Right.
So I was, you know, it is good to look at, well, can I brown bag my lunch? Can I, you know, do I start at the thrift shop before I go to JCPenney or something like that? But until you really look at, you know, what's your mortgage rate and are you overinsured? And you probably see that a lot of times too in, with life insurance. I very rarely do I meet somebody who has the right amount or the right kind of insurance. They either have not enough or too little and the wrong kind. So
we're going to talk more about this as we go through the show because I think that we've hit on a bunch of things. And when we come back from our break, I want to let's kind of revisit. Okay, let's start with the inventory, then let's start with the big items and kind of summarize some of the things we talked about.
Okay.
Because I think those were great examples, and let's put that into perspective. Folks, if you have questions tonight, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a sec.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk and traditional music is a crazy quilt of colors and textures. In the tradition traces its many patterns and designs. Music handed down from generation to generation. In the tradition, Wednesday evening at 7 on WDIY FM Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio.
Hello and welcome back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have in the studio with me this evening another CPA CFP, Alan Shannon Breslin. He has his own firm, Integrity Wealth Management, and we're talking about New Year's resolutions. I also want to mention the WDIY Winter Blast, folks. That is, I guess, more information is on wdiy.org for that, for tickets. And it's Saturday, February 1st at Miller Symphony Hall. There's food, drinks, and a band called the Doughboys. So it should be lots of fun. I think they usually have like silent auctions or Chinese auctions and little things like that as well. So, and I'm not sure if it's just for members of WDIY or not. Jeff, do you know?
I think anyone can buy a ticket.
Okay, so anyone could buy a ticket. So that's WDIY.org for their Winter Blast, Saturday, February 1st at Miller Symphony Hall. And it's usually up in the Rodale Room, which is really nice. And Symphony Hall is a beautiful building, beautiful place. But you actually, it's not in the Symphony Hall at all. You kind of go on the side parking lot and in through the side door and up upstairs, and it's really pretty looking outside. There's some city lights in Allentown now that are kind of fun to watch while you're there. So that's at wdiy.org. So Alan and I are talking about New Year's resolutions and different ways to feel financially empowered and getting your financial life in order, because a lot of folks start thinking about these things at New Year's. And one of the things that makes it easier is it's like a new year, a new clean slate. We can put our statements away for 2013, start those new folders for 2014. And quite often what I find is people have to go through a lot of that last year information getting ready for tax season anyway. So it's a good way to start taking stock of things. So Alan had mentioned, we've talked about on the show before, doing a financial inventory. Basically a financial inventory, I like people to understand what their assets are, what their liabilities are, but not just what their assets are and what their liabilities are, but actually what you're earning on your assets and what your liabilities are costing you, because there may be a disconnect there. There's other things to inventory as well, but let me give the phone number again, and then I'll just ask Alan to kind of recap that again. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. So, Alan, we were talking about the inventory.
Right.
And then we were giving examples about ways that people can be gentle with themselves and kind of start, you know, take some steps every day to try to be better about their finances and get control over them. Little things like drinking water or being careful when you're eating out or how you're spending money. But we don't want them to lose sight of the big things. So mm-hmm. let's talk a minute one more time about the big things, because I think it's really important to mention financing and things like that. Mm-hmm. So talk mm-hmm. about that again for a moment.
And just to take another step back from working with people from my parish and other folks that are maybe not as financially sophisticated, the definition of an asset is that it's something that you have that's going to have some future value. Your car is an asset. Your home, if you're not renting, if you're buying your home through a mortgage, then your home is an asset. Your retirement plans, your savings, checking, that's all an asset. The difficulty is, especially when you're younger, is that some of your assets you can't put numbers on, like your college education, and you might have a liability. You know, you can look at your home and say, well, my home is worth 180 and I have a mortgage for 120, but I also have student loans of 50,000. There's no asset to offset that. So to segue into a definition of a liability, that's something that you're going to owe in the future. Whether that's next month or next year, that's your mortgage and your credit cards and your car loans and things like that. I think one of the problems that we have in this country, and maybe in our economy mostly, is that we let other people make those decisions about how much we can afford to borrow. I always give that example of you graduate from college or high school, or you get out of the military and you go to buy a car, and they say, well, let me see your pay stub. And they look at that and say, oh, well, this is the kind of car you can afford. And then you go to get an apartment and they do the same thing. You go for a mortgage and you do the same thing. And all along the way, you're asking a barber if you need a haircut. You're asking people whose compensation is predicated on how much you're going to spend. You know, how much can I spend? Well, obviously, they're going to want you to spend as much as you can. And the nice thing about doing the inventory and then doing a spending plan, which is how I like to refer to what most people call a budget, mm-hmm. is that then you're going to plan your spending. You're going to decide what you feel comfortable with spending for housing and utilities and that sort of thing.
Excuse me, I got to interrupt you. This guy is really good. So I hope that the people who are listening are paying attention. I love how you're laying this out. This is really good. I'm really liking this. I mean, it's a whole new way to look at it, which I think is empowering again, which is what this show is about, trying to empower people.
Right.
But I think it's a great way to phrase it. And it's, I'm just sitting here getting goosebumps thinking this is a great way to look at it. Don't let people tell you how to spend or how much you could spend. And the same thing applies even to marketing in general. I did mm-hmm. raise my kids to understand what marketing was when they saw Snow White on the Kraft macaroni and cheese box. I'd say, children, that box costs 15 cents more because Snow White's on the outside, but Snow White's not on the inside. So I'd say, kids, what is that? And they'd say, marketing. So this is great. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just had to say that because people have to sit and listen. I want to give the phone number again, 610-758-8810. So don't let folks tell you how much you can spend. That's why you said you go back and do a spending plan by looking 3 to 6 months backwards to see your spending habits. So if you can remember what you were saying, go ahead.
Sure. So once you have those numbers for 3 to 6 months, we're gonna start with the big numbers, like you said. We're going to look at the mortgage, the auto insurance, the rent, the utilities. But really, when you think about it, the discretionary part of your budget where you're going to have a lot of control is a smaller portion. So you're going to have to make bigger changes in the smaller things as you go through it. And I would like to give the example, it's mostly tradition now, but the quarters and the dimes, you can tell them when they're in your pocket because they have the ridges around the edges. Well, that started when they were fully silver, and they put the ridges on there because unscrupulous people used to take a very sharp knife and shave just a little bit off every quarter that they got or every dime that they got, and then they would collect the silver and take it down to the assayer and profit for somebody else's loss. And eventually the quarter, didn't weigh enough to be considered a quarter. So they put those ridges on there. And I say to people, keep that picture in your mind, because that's what we're going to do with your discretionary expenses. We're going to go down the list, and rather than, wipe out dining out, like you said, we're going to find ways to shave back just a little bit. So if we're looking at your total spending and we want to save, let's say your total household income is $50,000, and we need to come up with, say, an extra $1,500 $3,000 a year. Well, that just means we have to shave 3% someplace. Mm-hmm. So as we're looking at each line item, it's not about being cheap. It's not about, it's about being frugal in the true sense, which is, am I getting enough back for every dollar that I'm spending? Mm-hmm. And do I really feel like I'm getting my money's worth on everything that I'm spending?
Mm-hmm. Alan, thank you. We're coming up on our next break. We have someone on the phone, but we'll ask them to hold on, stay on the phone, and we will take your call when we get back. Back in a sec.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. For more information, visit WDIY.org.
And you are listening to WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station, your source for NPR news, public affairs, and a great mix of hand-picked music. The time now is 6:30. Now back to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Jeff. Welcome back, folks. And you are listening to Your Financial Choices. And I have with me in the studio this evening Alan Shannon Breslin, who's a CPA and CFP, and we have a caller on line one. We have Matt. Are you still there, Matt?
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, how can we help you?
Well, actually, Alan's my accountant, and I just wanted to call and say hello to him and tell him how great he sounds on the air, and to tell everyone who's listening that you should listen to what he has to say, because he's an amazing individual, he's bright, and he's talented. And he's always steered us, me and my wife and my business, in the right direction. And he's just an amazing guy. He's a great person to work with.
That's a nice shout out, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Matt. Just let me know where I should send the check.
You should keep your money like you tell everyone else to do. But Alan, you can call Alan, and you know the clock's not running when you call him. He'll always offer his help, and he's a great guy. Him and Lisa run a great business, and we couldn't be more proud to be a client of his.
Thanks, sweet, Matt. Thank you for calling in. Okay, bye-bye. That's nice. Well, I can tell you're a great guy because you're doing a great job for the show tonight. Folks, if you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. I love the analogy about the ridge quarter and dime. I have not heard that before, and that's interesting. So now that'll be, you know, seared into my brain because I had no idea. So it's about trimming just a little bit. And in your example, you'd said someone, for example, who might have a household income of $50,000 and they need to come up with an extra $1,500 for the year. And that's how it starts, right, Alan? I mean, some people might say, yeah, but my credit card debt is $10,000. So you know what? That's what you start with. You start baby steps. Mm-hmm. So a little trim here, a little trim there, trying to make it workable and doable for you. And as I said, when I came out of school with lots of debt, it is so empowering the day you get out of it. Mm-hmm. Now, we talked about setting up that spending plan by looking back 3 months, 6 months, and so you start looking your spending habits, you set up a spending plan going forward, looking for those places you can trim. Now you said, how can we determine if it's working?
Well, you're going to have to track your spending going forward. And there's lots of good software out there for doing it. I've been using Quicken. I meant to look it up today. I think it's since 1989, when it first was offered in the Wall Street Journal for like 1995. And it was just a check writing program at that time. But now, and not to give them too big a plug, but it does all kinds of great things. You can pay bills electronically. You can track your investments. You can track your loan balances and your principal and interest payments. It's a really good way to do that. And now the banks all offer some kind of a download where you're not rekeying everything manually. You're just downloading from the bank website. I've never tried them. I've looked at Mint.com. That's another big one.
We had them on the show one time.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Mint.com. And I know a lot of the banks, the bigger banks have, I know one of them, PNC, has this, something they call the virtual wallet, where if you use their system to pay bills online, you can categorize your expenses and track that. With our system at the parish, the Seven Steps program, we tell people to save their receipts and just go through the receipts and try to categorize their cash expenses that way. Because everywhere you go, and pretty much everywhere now, you get a receipt. If you're really struggling with the credit cards, it's good to use a debit card instead, because then you're not, you tend to spend more with a credit card or with a debit card. So another way of doing it to kind of track that spending and track your progress is to do the envelope method. Being an accountant, I'm fine with numbers on paper, but a lot of people, that doesn't resonate with them. And I've had some friends and people in the program that have done well by setting up a system of, say, 6 envelopes for their out-of-pocket expenses, and then you get your paycheck in cash and divide it up and physically have the cash. And when the envelope is empty, you either have to take it from another envelope, or you have to figure out, you know, how to get by until the next paycheck. And that's a very powerful way. I did that first starting out when I was first out of college, and that really helped a lot to kind of discipline you on that cash out of pocket.
Well, I've said on prior shows that what I have found over my career is that people who think they have money don't, and people who think they don't have money do. And usually the people who think they don't have money are tracking every penny. Mm-hmm. And by keeping track, it's really almost a difference in people who can be disciplined and people who can't. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I think, you know, for those listeners out there who seem to struggle with this, a lot of it comes down to not really having the discipline to do it. So what I, you know, had to talk with my daughter about when she was having some learning issues is they said that she had to develop strategies that were going to work mm-hmm. for her. So for folks who do struggle with this, they may have to develop strategies that are going to work for them. Some people like Excel spreadsheets. Some people like Quicken programs. And some people might like some kind of online work. But recognizing that there's this envelope method as well, mm-hmm. you can almost find some system that will work for just about anybody. But, you know, it's these initial steps. And what I can't communicate enough for people is that wonderful, wonderful feeling of empowerment mm-hmm. when they've mastered it, right? Yeah. I mean, it's so emotional and meaningful for you that you went through it, mm-hmm. went through the credit card debt and got through it. For me, I mean, I remember the day in my house standing there saying, yay, we're free, you know, and so it's finding that strategy that's going to work for you. So yeah. So now we've got people looking at their spending plan, looking, and I like spending plan better than budget. So that we've got people looking at how they were spending money, setting up a system going forward, finding ways they can trim. What about getting the family involved? How do we get, you know, a spouse who may be resistant to it, or children who are seeing that their friends and their neighbors have XYZ. You know, my kids were always telling me every kid has a, what was it back in the day? PlayStation. I said, well, yeah. We don't. Everybody has cable. I said, well, we don't. Everybody's been to Disney. We aren't. So anyway, how do we get the family involved?
Well, when they say everybody has a PlayStation or an Xbox, you know, that's great. You can go over there and play. That works out great. I think, you know, looking back on it, our kids were young enough that we could have involved them more. I think we did talk to them about the situation. My wife Lisa loves to tell the story that one day on the way home from work, I stopped and picked up a pizza, and the kids were outside playing. And when they saw me coming, the two youngest ones, and when they saw me coming with the pizza, you would have thought it was like Christmas Day. They're like, "Oh, he got a pizza! He got a pizza!" So they knew how things were, and we had a couple of Christmases where you know, they got checkers and crayons and stuff like that. And I think the one way we tried to involve them, we made them aware of how things were. I think Lisa and I would do budget meetings where we would sit and look at the numbers from Quicken together. Looking back on it, I wonder if we shouldn't have included them. They were, at that time, the two youngest ones were like 8 and 10, and then our older kids were pretty much out of the house by then. But it would have been good to involve them a little more in the nuts and bolts so they knew the actual numbers. But there were things that we did, like your example with the water at Wendy's. We did a lot of things at the library. We we had a family membership at the Y, and we went to family swim. And the thing that I say to people is that, in my experience at least, trying to get out of debt and trying to get control of your finances and get peace with your finances, and I say to people, I got some good news and I got some great news. Mm-hmm. And the good news is you're going to have to change your lifestyle. And the great news is you're going to have to change your lifestyle. And you're going to like it. Things are going to be simpler. There's going to be less stress. Especially at our parish program, couples tell me that some couples who've been married 15, 20 years, that they've never talked about some of this stuff. They've never talked about, well, what are our long-term goals? So how do you see our retirement? Where do you see this going? And that some of those conversations are the best conversations they've had. The other thing I like to point out to people is, especially folks in my parents' generation, I like to say to them, well, tell me about the happiest memory you have as a married couple. And quite often that has nothing to do with money. Mm-hmm. And most of the time it's, well, we were married 6 months and, we were living above a butcher shop and it was a big deal, to play cards with our friends on Friday nights and listen to the radio. And, well, how much did that cost? Did you really need... I think that's kind of tied in with the whole New Year's resolution thing. And I mentioned before, I was during this time I went through a divorce, and suddenly the money that was supposed to be supporting one household and not doing a very good job of that had to support two households. And so it was an opportunity for me to kind of go back to square one and start with a blank sheet of paper and say, what's really important to me and where am I going to put my focus? And I hope, listeners don't have to go through a divorce or a death or something else that's tragic to come to that. You can do it anytime. And like you said, the relief of feeling like you're more in control and not, coming home to that answering machine message that's from the credit card company wondering where the payment is, that it's amazing the amount of stress that puts on your life. And there's a book out now, which actually I haven't read yet, but I've read reviews of it, and it's called Scarcity. And it's it's a Harvard professor and a Princeton professor, and I'm sorry their names are escaping me, but you had mentioned before about discipline. Their thesis is actually it's just attention, that we suffer from a lack of, we don't suffer from a lack of time or money, we just don't have enough attention to spend in all these different areas of our lives, and so our financial life actually suffers as a result. And they were saying that with their studies that they've done with lower income people who might be considered poor people, when you're under financial pressure, your problem-solving ability actually goes down. And that stress actually makes you less likely to make good decisions and good choices. So that can kind of come full circle with our spending plan idea is I love to see people put things on autopilot. Let's put your retirement. Let's make sure that you're contributing from your 401k. Let's set up that utility bill and that phone bill and everything else, your mortgage, so it's coming out automatically. So there's less for you to have to do that day-to-day attention on. And sometimes that's tough when the cash flow is tough, but there are ways to manage it. So the ultimate goal is to put as much as we can on autopilot, and then we can focus on those more difficult discretionary spending type decisions.
Mm-hmm. And taking advantage of, like, when we talk about autopilot with retirement plans, how often people aren't contributing to plans where an employer would match
exactly.
And that's free money. Yeah. Just like people not paying attention to what mortgage rates are so that they could refinance, or not paying attention to their employer matching, not mm-hmm. paying attention to flexible spending, which is also autopilot,
right.
And that's saving you income tax as well. Lots of good strategies and planning. We are coming up on our next and last break. When we come back, we're going to talk about emergency funds. I also want to thank again Kathleen O'Donnell from the PIC PICPA, which is the Pennsylvania Institute of Certified Public Accountants, for suggesting this show and topics and bringing us Alan, who's doing a great job this evening. PICPA is an advocacy group for CPAs in the state of Pennsylvania by providing information to lawmakers and college scholarships. They also provide information and advocacy for consumers. You can get financial information, tax advice, and answers to your questions at INEDACPA.org. Does that sound right? That doesn't sound right.
I need a CPA.
Oh, I need a CPA. Lori's left-handed. She can't read that way. I need a CPA.org. That is too funny. I'm reading this thinking that's crazy. Lori's crazy. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley. The time now is 6:45. Now back to our program.
Thank you, Jeff. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. I have in the studio with me this evening, Alan Shannon Breslin. He's a CPA and CFP and has his firm Integrity Wealth Management. We're talking about New Year's resolutions and taking control of your finances, because that's typically one of the probably most popular New Year resolutions. Besides, you know, losing weight, going on a diet, it's like getting control of your finances. We've talked about some different strategies to do that. And most importantly, as Alan had said, be gentle on yourself when doing this and look for the little successes, and overall and eventually you will be successful and feel empowered. Each week I talk about being proactive and not reactive, making these decisions ahead of time when you're in control and you're making the decisions leads you to making better decisions. He had just mentioned a book that's coming out. It's called Scarcity. You said,
right?
And I don't recall the authors now either,
but I don't either.
You can look up the book Scarcity, but it had pointed out that sometimes it might not just be a lack of discipline around these things, but a lack of attention, or we don't have the time to pay attention to these things. And then it hinders our ability to make better decisions when we need to. So that's about the part, folks, about being proactive and trying to be ahead of it. I can't tell you how many times we've tried to clean up financial decisions that have been made in the moment, in an emergency, at the last second, or they didn't think, or they didn't know. So this show is all about trying to make people aware and help folks develop those kind of skills to be able to make those better decisions. So let's talk about, let me give the phone number one more time, 610-758-8810 if you have questions, 610-758-8810, or through email at yourfinancialchoices.com. So let's talk about emergency funds. People are always asking about emergency funds, and I think you and I talked before the show when we first talked on the air, one of our favorite ways to have an emergency fund, and if you don't remember, or if I'm thinking of somebody else, I'll mention it. But let's talk about emergency funds for a minute.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think it's crucial to have an emergency fund, and I always tell people, even if you're in credit card debt, even if you have high interest rate debt, and it goes along those same lines of having a small victory, let's accumulate $1,000 or $2,000 and just keep it in savings. The tough part is that a lot of people, their definition of an emergency is not, you know, not quite what yours or mine might be. An emergency is not a great sale at Macy's. An emergency, you know.
Jeff and I might debate that.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
So that's, you know, the water heater goes, the car needs a new transmission, something like that, where it's a really big deal, and it's something that's going to really impinge on your quality of life or your ability to work if you don't take care of it. So once we have that $1,000 or $2,000 saved up, I think, as you said, that can give people a sense of empowerment, and especially people who have felt behind the ball for so long that they feel like they can't save. And here that gives them a leg up, and it gives them that shock absorber in their spending plan, that if something does happen it's not that we don't know that these things are going to happen, we just don't know when and how much they're going to be. So let's set some money aside every month and start accumulating this emergency fund. Once you hit that $2,000 level, then it's time to look at your credit card debt, because you're probably not going to earn much on that emergency fund, and you're going to get a better payoff by paying down your credit cards. Eventually, the goal, I used to tell people, and I think I heard you say this, 3 months. Now I tell people 6 months.
So do I.
And let's figure out what a year's worth of COBRA would be, which is your health insurance, and add that in.
Wow, that's new. I haven't heard that before. That's a good idea.
Well, it's just working with so many people who have been downsized or laid off. They get it. It's like, well, I have COBRA, so I'm going to be covered. My health insurance is fine. And then they get the bill and it's, $2,100 a month. Well, we didn't plan for that. So when people say, well, how much emergency fund should I have? I like to see people have 6 months and a year of COBRA if they're employed right now. Mm-hmm. The other kind of working with a lot of people who are downsized, and this is kind of strange advice too, but if you can, find a home equity line of credit, excuse me, that doesn't have a fee, and get that now.
Right.
Because once you're laid off, you're not going to be able to get that. Or mm-hmm. once you need it, and the only way then to get your equity out of your house is going to be to sell.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other thing that I think that can kind of be a stand-in for an emergency fund until you get it set up. It should never be a replacement, but it can be kind of a safety net while you're building that emergency fund up.
Okay. Did we talk about Roth IRAs, you and I?
No, we didn't, I heard you. I think I heard you say that to one of the callers a couple of months ago.
One of the things in fact, it might have been someone who had come in and talked to me the other day. Now that I'm thinking about it, I thought maybe it was you. I had mentioned it too. For folks who have, have their emergency fund, mm-hmm. maybe they have paid off their credit card debt, and still possibly still accumulating something maybe for those emergencies, but they don't know what to do with it. If they're eligible for a Roth IRA, one of the things I've said is I don't want to ever see anybody tap the Roth IRA. That's not the goal. I don't want them to. But sometimes they just need to know that they still can get to it if mm-hmm. they need it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they qualify, their income is, within the range that they can qualify to put money into a Roth IRA. The Roth IRA is a retirement savings vehicle that if you follow all the rules, eventually when you go to take the money out, if it's earned interest, dividends, or has had some growth on it, that income will not be income taxable when you go to take it out. So it's really a retirement savings vehicle. The sweet little thing about it is, though, if you did have an emergency or need something, the IRS has established a pecking order of those distributions when they come out, that you can always take out your original contribution. This is on a regular Roth IRA. So it's a way that I found that people can save, if they're eligible for it, they can still save, but still kind of feel like they have that as an emergency. Mm-hmm. But then what happens is they get used to having that Roth IRA and they say, that is kind of for my retirement. So they have the money in the bank for their emergency, but then they have this Roth money and then they start to see it build up. And again, once people kind of start seeing this and how you plant the seed, you water it, you give it some sun and it grows, all of a sudden people get charged up by it and kind of start thinking, oh, what else can I do?
Absolutely. And it's funny you should mention that, because with the emergency funds, most of the time in the mainstream press or in a financial planning book, they'll say, well, you keep that in savings where you can get at it quickly. And I kind of take a different view. I think, first of all, especially now with savings, I looked on my bank's website today and they will pay you 0.09% interest on a savings account. And I'm not mentioning any names, but I think you can do a lot better with a CD. And people say, well, there's going to be a penalty for early withdrawal if I need that money. Well, exactly. So that gives you...
Alan likes that.
I couldn't have said it better myself. So now that, again, puts up another hurdle to that. Well, is this really an emergency? And frankly, if it's really an emergency, you're not going to care. And if you're earning 10 to 12 times as much interest as you would be on a savings account, as long as it's in there a year, you're ahead of the game. So
and
more
you can
and more,
ladder CDs as
you
well.
You can ladder CDs, right.
And what we mean by that is you could do a 3-month CD, a 6-month CD, a 9-month CD, a year CD, mm-hmm. depending on what bank and what limits they have, et cetera. But that's one way to do it so that you won't have a penalty if you
don't have to wait. You don't have to wait 2 years for that money or right. take the penalty. You can wait until the 3 month matures or whatever. Exactly.
Right.
So
we only have a few minutes left. I've enjoyed talking with you so much. So let's mm-hmm. kind of go through to see what else we want to wrap up with in the last 5 minutes.
Well, the one thing I wanted to say, and again, it kind of, when you read the articles about paying off your credit cards, they generally talk about making more than the minimum payment. And the problem that I run into sometimes with people is sometimes they're so far behind on their personal budget or their personal spending plan that it's all they can do to get back to zero and just make those minimum payments. And I just wanted to throw out a couple ideas for if you're in that position, how can you still make some headway on your credit cards? And one that I did myself when I was going through this, it was right at the beginning of the banking online, where you could make online payments and it didn't cost anything. Well, that sparked an idea for me because if I'm sending a payment of, nowadays a stamp is 46 cents. So if I'm sending a payment of less than $50, I've just paid 1% just to mail the payment. So it doesn't make sense then for me to make a weekly credit card payment rather than a monthly payment for the minimum if it's gonna cost me something. But if it's gonna be free through the bank website, why not make a 1/4 minimum payment every week? So that gives you two advantages. First, you're whittling away at it so that you're saving some interest. And then also, twice a year, you're going to make 5 payments rather than 4. Mm. And so even if you're really stuck where you don't have any discretionary spending to cut in your budget where you can help whittle away at those credit cards, and believe me, no credit card company is going to complain if you pay them every week. That's the one thing. The other thing that I learned the hard way is don't ignore your credit card companies. If they're, they get really annoyed. If they're calling you, take the call. If they call them back, if you can only send them $10, I had one credit card where that was the case. I would just send them a check for $10, and it just showed them that I was trying to work this out and I was trying to make an effort with it. If they don't hear from you and you don't send them anything, they're going to assume the worst, and it's not going to go well in the long run. Mm-hmm. So even if you can't make those minimum payments, you've got to send something, and you got to keep communicating with them. Mm-hmm. So
and try not to put more on those credit cards. If you find that you're struggling paying off a credit card, then certainly think twice before you go to put something else, especially those discretionary spending kind of expenses that we were talking about. Really, if you have credit card debt and you're using it for discretionary spending.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other funny thing is people, I will say, well, cut those cards in half and don't use them. And when they, or even call up, you can close the account, which will freeze the terms right now. So the rate won't change, but you won't be able to charge anything more. And people will say, well, that'll reduce my FICO score if I do that. And I was like, well, yeah, but that's a little bit like saying I want to lose a bunch of weight so that I can go out and gain it back again. You know, the point of this is to get out from underneath the debt, and let's worry about your FICO score later. It'll take care of itself.
Okay. I just realized we're coming up at the end of the show, and I don't have my topic for next week because I was off for 2 weeks. I haven't thought about a topic. I'm going to have to figure out what I'm going to talk about. Maybe I'll talk a little bit more.
Wasn't it tax? And on your website, it said tax planning.
Tax planning next week?
Next week, tax planning.
Oh, okay. Someone, Judy Ann, probably decided on a topic for me. So we'll talk about tax planning next week. Alan, it has been great having you on the show. How do people reach you if they are interested in
I'm in the phone book, and they can Google me. I have a website. Our firm is Integrity Wealth Management. And our website is IWMFP.com, Integrity Wealth Management Financial Planning.com.
Okay, it's been a pleasure having you. Thank you very much. Folks, also, the PICPA, I want to thank them again as well. You can go to PICPA.org for more information for consumers. They have links for asking a CPA, finding a CPA, requesting a CPA, also newsletters, financial literacy calendar, and a tax help tab as well. So lots of information from the Pennsylvania Institute of Certified Public Accountants. That's PICPA.org, and we appreciate all that they do for consumers. Alan, thank you so much for being here.
You're
welcome. We have coming up Tom Druckenmiller within the tradition folk music. So stay tuned for him. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Judy Ann. Thank you, listeners, for calling in. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices, and have a great week.